As we return to Abraham's story, we come now to faith in a covenant God, or perhaps we could call this section Living on the Trapeze. Let me explain. Some years ago, my wife and I took our 4-year-old granddaughter to the circus. One of the fascinating sights we all enjoyed most was watching the trapeze artists flying through the air. One such trapeze artist family, the Flying Rodellas, reported in an interview that there is a special rapport between flyer and catcher on the trapeze. The flyer is the one who lets go, and of course the catcher is the one who catches. As the flyer swings high above the crowd on the trapeze, the moment comes when she must let go. She arcs out into the air. Her job is to remain as still as possible and wait for the strong hands of the catcher to pluck her from the air. Henri Nouwen wrote, "The flyer must never try to catch the catcher." In other words, the flyer must wait in absolute trust. The catcher will catch her, but she must wait. As we come to Genesis 15, Abram seems to be the flyer, suspended in midair, waiting and waiting for the solid snap of the promise to grip his life. But it doesn't happen. For more than 10 years already, it hasn't happened. And he's left hanging in the space between the promise and the product, a reality gap that is increasingly frustrating. Abram has been called to live by faith, which not only involves trusting the unseen, but also something almost as difficult, waiting. Brueggemann writes, "It is part of the destiny of our common faith that those who believe the promise and hope against barrenness nevertheless must live with the barrenness." Your reality might involve job insecurity, a health problem, broken relationship, coping with terrific stress, concern for your child's education, or many other things. Facing these realities on one hand and some of the promises of Scripture on the other may leave you hanging in the same kind of reality gap Abram faced and asking similar questions that burn in our hearts. How can I know the promises are true? How can I know the struggle is not in vain? The Genesis passages we consider now help us see the answer through God's dealings with Abram. We look first at saving faith. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.'" This is the first time in the Bible we come across these significant phrases and words. The word of the Lord, vision, shield, reward, I am as part of God's identity, and do not be afraid. In other words, this is a very unusual gold medal verse. God speaks a personal, direct word of encouragement to Abram by name. Why such an encouragement in such special terms? What's the context? The verse begins with, "after this," referring to events in chapter 14, where Abram battled the armies of 4 kings in a successful effort to rescue his nephew Lot, whom they had kidnapped. Coming out of that stressful experience, Abram probably has a couple of concerns. First of all, perhaps a fear of retaliation by those defeated armies. And secondly, perhaps potential poverty. The land in which Abram lived was recovering from famine. Lot had taken the fruitful area. Abram had just turned down a rich reward from the king of Sodom, not wanting to be tainted with such a gift, nor claiming that the victory was due to Abram's skill and therefore worthy of reward. But perhaps Abram is wondering now if sticking to his principles had been worth it. So God comes with a double promise. "I am your shield." As God had been Abram's defense in his war with the enemy kings, he would be his shield in the future. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, "God is a shield to those who put their trust in him." And secondly, "I am your great reward." Perhaps the psalmist best expressed what this reward would involve in Psalm 17 verses 14 and 15. "O Lord, by your hand save me from such men of this world whose reward is in this life. But as for me, my contentment is not in wealth, but in seeing you and knowing all is well between us. And when I awake in heaven, I will be fully satisfied, for I will see you face to face." God understands Abram's fears and meets them with the assurance of His word. Some wit suggested, the best way to forget all your troubles is to wear tight shoes. Oh no, when our emotions threaten to blow us away, we need to allow God's truth to penetrate our minds and secure our emotions. What was Abram's first response? Chapter 15 again, verse 2 and 3. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. In other words, Abram is saying, okay, Lord, that's fine. I'm grateful you are my shield and eventual reward. But what about the promise of a son? Nothing's happening here, and time's running out. And so God graciously affirms the promise He had given earlier, verses 4 and 5. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven, and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. The promise is clear, a son coming from your own body, and descendants as numerous as stars. Griffith Thomas wrote that God's delays to Abraham were not denials. As we'll see in a later session, he had to wait another 15 years yet. But God's promise would be fulfilled, as Hebrews 6:15 says, and so after waiting patiently, Abram received what was promised. So now, what is Abram's second response? Well, it's in verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he, that is God, counted it to him for righteousness. His response this time? It was magnificent faith. But what made the difference between Abram's two responses? It surely was a new recognition of who God is. The God who could create all these stars out of nothing was powerful enough to give Abram a son out of the deadness of his life and the barrenness of Sarai's. Jeremiah 32:17 says, ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. By linking his power in creation with his power in Abram's life to fulfill the promises, God turns on the light in Abram's dark reality gap, and Abram suddenly understands with his heart. Abram believed the Lord. In Matthew 16, verses 15 to 17, Jesus asked his disciples, but what about you? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. God alone can turn on this kind of light. This kind of saving faith is a gift from God, for Peter, for Abram, for you, for me. Galatians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And even trusting, even the faith, is not of yourselves. It too is a gift from God.